before God and man.
Also, you will find in the bulletin a little half sheet, which we are working our way through the Belgic Confession of Faith. We're looking at article number 31. Again, we have to remember that when this was written, those that were confessing the faith, those that were in the church, were being persecuted. And the leaders were being arrested and killed, including the author of this document. And so he sealed this document, this confession of faith, with his own blood, if you will. So what do we believe? Well, I'll read responsibly. We believe that the ministers of God's Word, the elders and the deacons, ought to be chosen to their respective offices by a lawful election by the church, with calling upon the name of the Lord, and in that order which the Word of God teaches. Therefore, every one must take heed not to intrude himself by improper means, but is bound to wait till it shall please God to call him, that he may have testimony of his calling and be certain and assured that it is of the Lord. As for the ministers of God's Word, they have equally the same power and authority wheresoever they are, as they are all ministers of Christ, the only universal bishop and the only head of the church. Moreover, in order that this holy ordinance of God may not be violated or slighted, we say that everyone ought to esteem the ministers of God's Word and the elders of the church very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace with them without murmuring, strife, or contention as much as possible. So there's two points that we'll just quickly look at. Number one is the focus on calling, God's calling of an individual into the office. Notice that there is both an internal call and an external call. The internal call, according to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, is a desire. Paul writes, "He who desires the office of a bishop, of an overseer, desires a good thing." And so there has to be that inward work of the Spirit to desire to be a servant of Christ, which we all should. That should be the work of the Spirit in our lives, right? That we have been redeemed to be servants of God. Now, not everybody is called to be an officer, but everyone is called to be a servant. We're all called to serve Christ. And so that should be the desire of all of us. But that is one of the qualifications, the desire to take on the office. And then secondly, there's the external call. Notice in the text, you could say, number one, that the gifts of the Spirit are evident in the individual. That the church, looking at you, looking at the individual, says, yeah, I see the work of the Spirit in your life. It is evident. I think of my son David. The elders have said to him, we see the gifts. And many of you have said when he's come, yeah, we see that you are gifted. That's something that, even though he may think that, the church has to tell him that. And so it is with any man is called to the office. Secondly, 1 Timothy 3 primarily focuses on the qualifications of which are character. It is the character, godly character, evident in the individual. Part of that has to do with wisdom and knowledge. For the elder, he's called to either, well, it depends how you translate it, either apt to teach or teachable. Depends on how you translate that. Someone who has been taught and is able to minister. And also the evidence of love. I think especially in the office of deacon, but in all the offices. Minister, the word itself in the Greek is deacon. And so the minister is the deacon or the servant of the word. That's his primary calling. But in one sense, all of the offices are servant offices. Second point, notice the statement. For the ministers of God's word, they are have equally the same power and authority wherever so where they are, as are all the ministers of Christ, who is the universal bishop and the only head of the church. Why is that there? What is the context? Whoa, okay, there we go. What is the context? The context is the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, declared himself to be the head of the church, the vicar of Christ. And when he spoke, Christ spoke through him. But he was the final head in authority, which is not a biblical concept. Actually, if you stop and think about it, it's a very Roman concept. At that time, in the first three centuries, or even beyond that, who was the ultimate leader in the Roman Empire? It was the Roman Emperor. And the church emulated that within its government, the Roman bishop, the Bishop of Rome. That's not a biblical concept. Biblical concept is who is the head of the church, the only head of the church? Jesus Christ. Right? And the ministers are what the term we use is God calls elders and pastors to be the parity and plurality. I just washed my tongue and I can't do a thing with it. God calls ministers and elders to be servants of the body of Christ. And so in a Presbyterian and Reformed understanding of the Scriptures, the elders and pastor are not over the congregation, but under. Congregation is here and Jesus is here. You understand the difference? In the Roman Catholic Church, here's the Pope, here's the cardinals, here's the archbishops, here's the bishops, and here is the people. In a biblical church, Jesus Christ is the head and only head of the church, the people, and then the servants. What did Jesus do just before he was crucified in the upper room? He took a towel, he took a basin of water, and he washed the disciples' feet. And he said, as I have done, you're to do. We're called to wash one another's feet, to serve one another. Jesus is the head of, according to Paul, he is the head of the body, the church. Or that's Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22, who gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus is Lord. Do you confess that? Is he just Lord of you? Is he, here's what Paul is saying here, is he just Lord of the church? No. He's Lord of all things. He's over Lord over everything. Every person will give an account to him. We read Paul saying that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether they want to or not, will confess what? Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The question for us today is, will we bow the knee willingly now, or unwillingly or willingly then? My prayer is for each of us is that Jesus is not only what we confess, but the one we serve. Amen?